Welcome to the podcast of Kingsway Community Church, a community inspired by love to live differently. If you'd like to connect with us online, join us at one of our churches, make a financial contribution, or discover more about Kingsway, head to www.kingsway.org.au or download the Kingsway app by simply searching Kingsway Community Church in your app store. We pray that this podcast will inspire you with God's incredible love to live differently.
How are we all today? Very well. It's good to see you. It's good to see that not everyone decided to go away for the long weekend. Not that it's been the best weather for a camping trip away somewhere, but probably all decided to stay home instead in the warmth of your heated homes. Probably not a bad option. So for those of you who may remember, the start of this year, we started a series called Living Differently, which was all about engaging in spiritual disciplines, learning about some practices that we can engage in that will help us ultimately become freer. Now remember, spiritual disciplines is not about us trying harder. It's about us training wisely to be free. Because ultimately, God's heart for us is that we would encounter freedom at a whole new level. And I'm not just talking about living in a free country. I'm talking about living a free life. That is God's heart for every person here, every person in Sydney, Australia, and the world, is that we would encounter God in such a way, the creator of all things, we would encounter God in such a way that our lives would be free, so that we could flourish in who God has called and created us to be. I want that kind of life. It's a journey, right? Anyone there yet? So you've all got something to learn this morning, right? Good. I remember about 18 years ago, it's about 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, and usually once I fall asleep, I'm good for the next at least 6 to 7 hours. Sometimes it can take me a little while to fall asleep. My active brain decides to unpack, process, organize my day, and all my thoughts and collect them and file them strategically. I don't know if anyone else's brain does that when the lights go out. It's kind of like, finally, some peace and quiet. Now I'm going to unpack the day's activity for you and tell you all the things that you need to learn about it. And so for the next hour you go, I just want to go to sleep, brain. Anyway, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning and I woke up. And I woke up with this thought to ring a certain person. And I thought, that's really weird, right? Why would I have that thought?
Is that you, God?
I just dismissed it and thought that was silly. I must have been dreaming about something and went back to sleep. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up again to the same thought. Now, it wasn't like an audible voice like, Brett, you need to ring. It was just I had this thought. You should ring so-and-so. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not doing that at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? Not waking them up going, hey, I just had this random thought at 3 a.m. that I should call you. How are you? So I dismissed it and went back to sleep, or tried to go back to sleep, and I kind of think I dozed in and out. And then at 4:30 in the morning, I reawoke. So this is three times with the same thought, please call so-and-so. And so by that point, I thought, okay, something's going on here, right? I'm going to take a step of faith and possibly look like an idiot. And even more likely, this person's not going to be very happy with me at all. But there is a chance their phone will be off or on silent. And so it won't matter. So I took a risk at 4:30 in the morning. And I made the call. And to my surprise, one ring and they answered the phone. I went, "Hi, this is Brett. I'm so glad you called," was their response. You know, God desires to speak to us and guide us for the sake of the world around us. Now, that's the only time I can remember that happening like that for me. Most of the time, it's during the day in the waking hours, you know, when you just sort of get that, "Oh, why am I thinking about that person?" God, through His Holy Spirit, wants desperately to communicate to us and is communicating to us all the time. You know, He wants to guide us in our life. And today's spiritual discipline is about the guided life. It's about hearing the Holy Spirit to receive guidance in our life. Because ultimately, living differently is not going with the flow. It's actually going against it. It's not fitting in to our world. It's standing out. And I have to tell you that in that moment at 4:30 in the morning, and I'm, you know, in hindsight, you go, "Why didn't you just ring at 2? But, you know, we're human. I was packing it. I was so scared that this person would not like me for the rest of my life because I woke them up at 4:30 in the morning. And they would think I was some crazy idiot that kind of woke up with them in my mind. I could get arrested and thrown in jail for that. So I was packing it. But it made the biggest impact on that person's life. The very first thing they said, "I'm so glad you called." I'm thinking, "Really? Okay." So it's not fitting into our world, the culture around us, is it? It's about standing out. It's not following the patterns of this world, but pursuing the patterns of the kingdom of God, His world. We are chosen and inspired by love to live different. Building bridges, not walls. Attracting those people around us to the kingdom, not scaring them off. Accepting, not judging. Inclusive, not exclusive. That kind of different. Romans 12, one of my favorite passages, says this, is, "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking." See, that's living the same. That's not living differently. Instead, fix your attention on God. Well, there's the key. And you'll be changed from the inside out. You see, living differently is an inside job. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you. So this is why we need guidance, right? Because we need to be readily recognizing what God wants from you. And then it says, and quickly respond to it. Well, okay, 2.5 hours wasn't bad. Maybe not quickly, but eventually respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, which is always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. And that's what we need to realize. That's what the guided life is about. That's what hearing the Holy Spirit guiding us and leading us and, you know, maneuvering us through life is, because God wants to bring the best out of you. Jesus said, "I've come that you'd have life in all its fullness, abundant life, life to the max, not a mediocre, half-baked, so-so life." You know, up until I was 30 years of age, not that long ago, Kane, I would have never, ever in a million years thought that I would ever be a pastor of a church. So if you're under 30, there's still time. So up until I was 30, there was no way I wanted to do that thing. You know, my dad did that thing. My older brother was doing that thing, you know, the pastor thing. There's no way in the world. I couldn't think of, I mean, it sounds bad, I know, but I couldn't think of anything worse. Who'd want to be a pastor? No one's involved in the church. I was even on staff looking after the worship and creative elements of the church at the time, which even that was kind of surprising. But up until I was 30, and then someone came and asked me, the senior pastor at the time decided to go to Melbourne, and the eldership team at the time decided that they would, you know, have a look at what they felt they needed and who that might be and who that person might look. And I just went about my daily life as if la-di-la-la. And I can't remember whether it was Andrew at the time, I think it was, came to me and said, you know, we've looked at what we think we need. And when we, I think these were kind of his words, and when we overlay that on you, we realize that what we need is here. And we'd like you to consider being senior pastor at Kingsway Church. And I remember thinking to myself, I'll go home and I'll mention this to Jen. And depending on how she responds will be my guide. Because my hunch was she'd go, no way, you're not doing that. So I went home and I sat on my bed and I said, the eldership have asked me if I'd like to lead Kingsway. And she said, oh, I think that'd be great. You can't say that. You know, God will get your attention. He's always looking for ways to communicate and guide you and give you insight into what he wants. Now, I then became the senior pastor of this church about 17 years ago. And there obviously has been many a times when I've questioned whether I heard right. But I know this is where God wants me to be. John Ortberg, in the book The Life You've Always Wanted, which is kind of the book that we've been using as our textbook, if you like, around these ideas of spiritual discipline. He says this. He said, it's one thing to speak to God, but it's another thing to listen. When we listen to God, we receive guidance from the Holy Spirit. He says this, if we are to have a relationship with God that is in any sense personal, we must be open to the possibility that sometimes God speaks directly to us. John 16 says, I still have many things to tell you. This is Jesus speaking. But you can't handle them now. But when the friend comes, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, he will take you by the hand and he will guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen. And indeed, out of all that I've said and done, he will honor me. He will take from me and deliver it to you. He will take from Jesus himself and deliver it to you personally. God's purpose in guidance is not to get us to perform the right actions. It's to help us become the right kind of people. Spiritual transformation is an inside job. He also says in his book that he believes one reason why we fail to hear God speak is that we are not attentive. And in his words, he says, we suffer from what might be called spiritual mindlessness. So I've been thinking about spiritual mindlessness and decided that I would speak to you a little bit about what it would look like to be spiritually mindful. Who would like to be spiritually mindful? Who would love to hear God all the time? Every day. Every morning. Because I believe God is always desiring to speak into your journey. So there's three things that I think we need to do, some practical things I believe we can do to help us in our journey of hearing from God. Now, there's a few reasons why we don't want to hear from God sometimes. Can anyone think of any? What might be a reason we might not want to hear from God? You're not going to like what he says. That's so true. There's something in us as human beings that has a sense that what God might want to say to us might not be what we want to hear, and so it's actually safer if we don't ask. What might be another reason? He challenges us. Absolutely. Sometimes I think we have an idea that, you know, if hearing God is like getting inside information. You know, like, give me the lotto numbers for next week. That'd be some guidance, Jesus. But hearing God is not about getting inside information so that our lives can prosper. Hearing from God is so that our lives can be free. What might be another reason that we might not want to ask God for guidance? Yes, I don't need hands up, but Suzanne, thank you for your politeness. Yeah, okay. Yes, mister. Yeah. Yeah, that's true too. We already have an idea of what we want to do, and we kind of want to go with that. Because in the moment, we think we know best, right? We think we know better than God. I mean, think about that. I'm as guilty as anyone. But think about that. We think we know better than God. It's true, though. We do think that at times. But remember the text that I read out to you at the start. Recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it, because God's heart is to bring the best out of you. God not only knows what's best for us, he knows what's going to be best for us. So it's not rocket science, but here's three things. The first thing is this. Better put my phone out here because I keep looking at the clock up the back and it's not there. And that's very dangerous for you guys. Not so much for me, because I could hear myself speak all day. The first thing is this. Position yourself in his presence. Now, God is always present. So it's not about, in the Old Testament, you used to have to enter into his presence, because his presence was in one spot. But now, because of the Holy Spirit, he is present with us and in us all the time. So it's not so much that I need to find where God's presence is. It's actually creating awareness around his presence in the moment. It's difficult to receive guidance from the Holy Spirit if we don't position ourselves in his presence. Because there's a part that we play in that, where we need to be deliberate, attentive, and intentional. Now, thankfully, God does stuff like wake you at 2 a.m. when you're not actually seeking guidance from the Spirit and he just gives it to you. But most of the time, if I want to hear guidance from God about anything, I have to create the space to hear it. I have to position myself. Now, that could be positioning myself alongside another person, because God speaks through other people. It could be positioning myself in his word, because God speaks to us through his word. It could be positioning ourselves in quiet solitude, so that God can speak to us in the quiet. Most of the time that I personally receive guidance from the Holy Spirit, it's not this big dramatic movie moment. There's no burning bush. It's just a small whisper or a prompting in my spirit. But we need to position ourselves. We need to create space. And we need to be asking ourselves and God a question. Do you have something for me right now? In this moment? For me or for someone else? A word, a whisper, or a prompting? Now, I guarantee you, if you begin to ask that question on a regular basis, you're going to hear God. I try to do that whenever I meet with someone, when I walk into a room full of people. I don't always do it. But ask myself the question, God, is there something you have for me right now? A word, a whisper, or a prompting. Something you'd like me to give to another person. Something you'd like me to... Is there something more that you have to say? And then the second thing is listen with an attentive heart. We live in, you know, a fast-paced, want-it-now culture. And often we'll position ourselves, and, you know, it's funny because we'll do this usually when things have gone bad. Yes, Pastor Brett. You know, when things aren't going our way or when things are getting hard, we go, oh, that's right, God. He might have some guidance for me. And so we position ourselves. We ask God, we seek God, we pray, and we talk to others. But then we move so quickly that we don't stop to listen to what it is that God may have to say. And because we didn't get a response within 12.3 seconds, we move on. That is not listening attentively. And I would be the first to admit that if I listened to those I loved like that, which I do sometimes, it's not going to be good. It's not good news for my marriage or for my relationship with my kids when I listen with that 12.3 second rule. Or however long it might be. You know, when I went to Cambodia for the first time about 11 years ago and was absolutely petrified, some of you know my story. I've, you know, never really been out of my comfort zone, and I was in an uncomfortable, unfamiliar place that ate funny things, and, you know, yeah, I know, it was tough. And I was petrified and was there kind of reluctantly and thought, yeah, okay, I can tick the box. I've had my Cambodia experience. God spoke to me about me investing my life in partnering with those people to see His kingdom come. And I remember asking God about that for the next 5 years and listening and listening and listening. Wondering what that was going to look like and how that was going to work, and did I hear wrong in the first place? But you know, if I'd heard that and then just kind of bolted and either done my own thing or rejected it or gone my own way, we would never have seen what God had in store for us as a community. Because it wasn't till about 6 years later that I met the couple that God had prepared in advance to lead our faith community in Phnom Penh. Open your ears and your mind and your heart to His small voice with expectation. Still your senses. Be expectant of his guidance. Active listening requires intent because it won't happen accidentally. So we need to position ourselves in a place, in a posture, with an attitude of coming to God, being open. God, what do you want in this moment? What are you saying to me now? Do you have something for me to share, to bring, to add value to those people around me? And then listen. And then the last thing, and I reckon if I was honest with you, this is where I get a little bit unstuck. The last thing is this: trust that God knows best. You know, there's so many times I reckon I know better. But if God is going to guide us, we need to trust that he knows best. We need to trust that God loves us and that he wants the best for our lives and that he has a plan and a purpose and a way that's going to help us live and experience freedom and flourish in all of our lives. I believe it up here. And I think most people, if I asked you, yes, I know that the truth is that God wants the best for me and he wants me to be free and flourish and he has a great plan. I think most of us know it up here, but to translate it from our head to our heart to our hands to the way we respond and feel and live is a challenge. The guidance of the Holy Spirit doesn't take out courage factor. In fact, it increases it. Can't walk on water without being courageous, stepping out in faith. God does not intend that guidance will be a shortcut from making decisions and taking risks. Indeed, God wants us to develop good judgment, to learn to make great decisions, and to be courageous in the way that we act upon them. I think sometimes we hear from God, we get a prompting in our spirit or we have a sense about something, but we still have to activate that by stepping into it, right? And so much of the time we stay here because it's safe, it's familiar. You know, you look at young Ruth here, God gave her a vision around serving and helping young women, helping women understand their worth and value. And I reckon at some point for you that was scary, right? Probably still is. And it required some faith and courage to not only financially invest into it, but to really step out and do it. But God's plan is not to harm. It's to flourish you, not for your sake, but for the sake of those around us. That's how the kingdom of God works. It's always about being blessed to be a blessing to other people. It's never about me. If it becomes about you, it's not God. So we need to remember that. It's not about us. It's not about me prospering, me gaining, me. It's about what God will do in me so that I can be a blessing to others, to see others prosper. Because honestly, that's where life is. And so when God speaks to us, so often what he says will require courage. It will require faith. It will require us to take a step and take action. You know, you can, I heard the saying, you know, you can be on the right track, but if you just sit there, the train's still going to run you over. Receiving guidance from God, we have to be prepared to take action because that's what it means to live differently. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Because God knows what's best for you, and He wants to bring out what's best for you so that others can flourish and be blessed by you. So here is your personal challenge for the week. Are you ready? I want you to position yourself to be able to hear from God. Trusting His prompting, His leading, and His whispers. And then step out in faith with confidence. Who's already scared? I want you to ask God that question. Do you have something right now that you want me to do or say or bring? God loves you so much, so much, that He wants to see your life move from where it is to somewhere better and greater and deeper and stronger, where you are filled with courage and confidence to live out of who He created you to be. And that's about flourishing in life. There are challenges, absolutely. We all face our challenges in so many different ways. And it's not about God making life easy, but it's making us confident and courageous in life. Because ultimately, every life here is called to be a blessing to other lives. Now, I can pretty well guarantee that in a room with this many people that there's a whole bunch of you that would love some guidance from God right now. Even in the simple things. How do I raise a boy? Had a girl, going okay. Now we have a boy. Yes, it's different. Not just physically. And we need God to guide us. As parents. Because there are times, and you know, my children are older now. That doesn't make it any easier, mind you. Where I've got no idea what to do as a parent. And I need God to guide me. How do I respond to this? What do I need to say in this moment? How do I provide correction or discipline, but in a way that empowers and uplifts. Maybe in your other relationships, maybe in your work, maybe in your future, we all have stuff. And you know what? God wants to speak into that because His heart is to guide you because He knows what's best for you. But we have to learn to trust. And I mean, it's hard to trust someone that you don't realize loves you as much as they do. So if you don't know and walk in the power of God's love for you, and you haven't had a revelation of how deeply God loves you, it will be always hard to trust God. So the first thing we need to get a hold of is God loves you. The Creator of all things, He loves you deeply, passionately. He cherishes you. He pursues you. He desires relationship with you. He went to the cross for you. He gave His life so that you could live and experience relationship with Him. He loves and adores you, and He wants the best for you. He wants your life to flourish. He wants you to be free, all because He loves you. And when you know that in your core, it's much easier to trust what God says. When you're trusting a God who loves you like that. So for some of us today, the revelation that you need more than anything is that God loves you. For others today, it's letting go of our agendas and safety, comfort zones, and going, you know what? I'm going to trust the God that loves me that much. Let's get the guys back up. I'm going to finish with worship. Why don't you stand with me? I'm going to pray. God, I just thank you so much that you're present. I thank you so much that there is nowhere we can go where your love is not present. God, I thank you that you love us so deeply, so passionately. God, that you pursue us, that you chase after us, that you cherish us, that you want more than anything in the world to see us free and to see us flourish and to see us live our life the way that you've called, the way that you've created us, with your plan, your purpose, your intent. And this morning, God, I just pray for those this morning that just need a revelation of your love. For those here this morning that may struggle to comprehend, to grasp, to sense, to feel, to encounter, to experience, to believe the depth and the width and the height of your love for them. God, you love each one of us so deeply. You know what's best for us. You know which way we should go and where we should turn and how we should parent and how we should respond and how we should deal with this and this decision. And you know, God, you know what's best for us and you want to guide us. God, may we get a revelation of your love this morning. May we all get a deeper revelation of your love. Because it's for no other reason that you want to guide us than because you love us. It's what good fathers do. You know, I guide my children because I love them. I pray, God, for those this morning who just need to step into a greater place, platform, and position of trust. Where, yes, we will position ourselves to receive guidance from you in all the different ways that you bring that, through people, through your word, through your spirit, through others. We're going to trust you, God, because you know what's best for us. And I thank you, God, that you want us to experience life in all its fullness. That's always your heart. A free life, a full life, a flourishing life. So as we worship together this morning, I'm just going to sing that song again, You're a Good, Good Father. I mean, it is a declaration of God's love for you. You know, this morning as we worship, if you have a sense in your heart, if you have a sense in your spirit that God is wanting to guide you toward Him, and I want to give you an opportunity this morning to respond to that. Maybe for some of you this morning, this is one of those defining moments where you sit safe and secure in your comfort zone, but God is calling you out to meet Him, to engage and encounter Him in a whole new way. So as we worship this morning, if you know it in your heart, and you'll know, you want to respond to God's love this morning, whether you have relationship with God or you're not sure or you've been walking with Him for 1,000 years, this is an opportunity for you to respond to Him. I want you to move out from where you stand and I want you to come and stand down the front here. And that's going to take some courage. I'm going to get some people to pray for you and encourage you and hear from God and speak into your journey and bring blessing. So if you know that you know, I encourage you to respond to God. Be courageous. Be confident in who you are. Come knowing that you have a God who loves you so much that you can trust Him wholeheartedly with what He's going to do, going to say, and how He's going to lead you this morning. Thanks, Grant.